involved with our high school football broadcasts. First and 10 for the Detroit Ravens at their 34-yard line of Racine. They lead 14-0 in this PFA championship. The handoff and getting swallowed up is Lance Mitchell. That is Higgins, I believe, who's slow to get up. Mitchell gets back to the line of scrimmage and check that. That is not, is it Higgins?
It is Higgins.
It is. Thank you. The jersey's rolled up. So a second down and 10.
He has been the hardest worker on the defense thus far tonight. If we had to pick an MVP thus far for the Raiders, he would be my choice. Coming from the far side of the field to the near side to make that tackle and spot where the Raiders needed something to stop the Ravens' momentum as they have the 14-point lead and are moving the football again. He has been the toughest man for the Ravens to stop on the Raiders' defense tonight. If anything, the rest of the Raiders' defense needs to rally up and play like Higgins has played. Step up, make some of those plays. Because when the Ravens have run away from Higgins, they've had good success.
Frazier breaks out to the far side of the field. They're going to dump this one off, popping it up in the air to himself as Lance Mitchell, as he's falling to the turf. He makes the catch at the 32-yard line and falls on the backside. It'll bring up a third down and 8 for the Ravens.
He had a lot of room in front of him, but he couldn't keep his feet, and he was frustrated with himself. In the NFL, if you make that catch, you can get back up because there wasn't any Raider defender around him, and he wouldn't have been touched while he was down. He would have had time to get back up and run with the football, but because we play by college rules in the PFA, he's down because his backside is down when he catches the football, so it ends up just being that short 2-yard gain. The Raiders really luck out as a result.
They're delivering pizza, but to the stands, not to the press box. What is going on with that, Dan?
Well, you know, you didn't specify the delivery address for the DoorDash driver there, Don.
Three receivers to the right. Breaking out of the bunch is Frazier out wide to the right side for Webster. Webster's going to throw back to Frazier, and Frazier goes down and keeps his footing for a bit. Burton comes in over the top. Frazier will pick up a yard, and it's going to bring up a fourth down and 7. Their kicker, Phil Shaver, very good on extra points, 32 of 40. He's 4 of 4 on field goals, but his long has been in the 30s, so not a field goal opportunity here for the Ravens. They'll keep the offense out there.
You can tell Shaver is consistent, but doesn't necessarily have the strongest of legs. Hey, Raiders, good swarming play there on third down, and they needed something like that. Arian Ivey, quick to the point of attack. They read that wide receiver screen well, but you know what? The Ravens going to go for it on fourth down here from the Raiders 31. They need to pick up 7 yards. They've shown they're capable of getting those 7 yards, but if you can get the stop here as the Raiders, you've got time to maybe get a score on the board before the half.
Maddox in the backfield to the right of Webster, two receivers each way. Webster with time, middle of the field, and that is knocked down by Hogland. Incomplete, and it'll be Racine Raiders football. Turnover on downs to Racine, and now here's an opportunity for Racine, Dan, with 2:52 to play, all three timeouts remaining. They have the opportunity to get the football first to begin the second half, so if you can march down, put it in the end zone, you have a chance for this game to get really interesting really quickly.
Could double it up if you can get that score here at the end of the half and score at the start of the second half. William Hogland, a little upset with himself that he didn't get the interception, but his momentum was taking him towards the ground. Probably better for the Raiders that he didn't make the pick, because all he needed to do was knock the ball down for the Raiders to get the ball, with that being fourth down. So yes, now the Raiders do get the ball back, their own 31-yard line. The question is, what's the combination that's going to lead to success for the Raiders? We haven't seen as much of Joe Garcia after the Raiders got him involved in the first couple drives of the game. Maybe sending Garcia deep down the field and using his speed is something the Raiders can do here.
They're emptying the backfield. Three receivers to the right, two to the left. Schick pulls Payne in, more into an H-back roll on the left side. Immediate pressure. He flips it off to Payne, and Payne will get upended at the 35-yard line. On the tackle is Devin Clark for the Ravens. A pickup of 3 to bring up second down and 7.
Definitely don't think Payne was the first option on that play. Garcia, feeling pressure, saw Payne in front of him, said, well, let's try this. Payne, a little bit surprised by the fact he got the football, but he was able to turn it into a 4-yard gain. Raiders quickly back up to the line of scrimmage. They'll get another playoff before the 2-minute warning at least.
Yep, three receivers to the left, two to the right. Garcia in the slot on the right side. As we approach the 2-minute timeout, Schick with time, and he's going for Garcia long, and that ball is a jump ball between him and Morris. Garcia, I don't think, was expecting that pass to go that deep, Dan. He kind of stopped and kind of settled in into a zone, and Schick went for the home run. It's going to bring up a third down and 7 for Racine.
Well, there you go. You use the speed of Joe Garcia, but you also haven't had Joe Garcia for much of the season, so you're still working on getting that timing. Garcia hesitated a little bit before he went down the field, maybe thought that Schick couldn't get the ball that far. Plus, the Ravens, they know what Garcia can do, even though he's been hurt. They rolled the safety over, and they had good coverage on him. Notable, too, that Garcia went off the field after that play. Hope everything's okay with him, knowing that he's had the injuries this year.
Empty backfield, trips to the left, 2 receivers to the right. Foster in there. He's along the near sideline. Schick, hard count, didn't quite get the Ravens to jump off, and then goes for Foster and throws a little bit high for the 6'5 Foster as he was on a slant across the middle of the field with 2:07 to play. It'll bring up fourth down, and Wodak's going to come out to punt. So Racine unable to do anything after the defense gets a stop.
Yeah, and sometimes if you're a defense, it's not about getting to the quarterback. It's just getting that first initial push. Chenault Carey laid a pancake block on the far side of the line for the Raiders, but just the push that the Ravens defense got that forced Carey to throw that pancake block, I have a feeling that Schick saw that player coming around the edge out of the corner of his eye and thought, hey, I've got to rush that ball. As a result, the pass is a little bit too high for Foster, and the Raiders have to punt. It's the little thing sometimes, Don.
Morris standing back at his 25-yard line, awaiting the Schick punt, or the Wodak punt. Wodak, Morris going back. It'll bring him back to his 20. He bobbles it, has to haul it in at the 17-yard line, and he'll bring it all the way out to the 35, but a flag does come in late, probably for a block in the back as we hit the 2-minute timeout. We will step away. We'll fill you in on what it is when we come back. We'll step away for 30. We're at the 2-minute timeout here in the second quarter in the PFA championship game. It's been all Detroit Ravens thus far. They lead Racine 14-0.
WRJN Racine.
Come out and visit Time and Again Music. We have a huge selection of vinyl, over 10,000 titles in stock. We've got everything. We got rock, soul, jazz, country, R&B, soundtracks. So a little of this, a little of that. Make a list every time you hear something on the radio. Have a little tiny pad of paper somewhere. Jot down a group, a song title. That way when you come in, you've got an idea of what you're looking for. I'm Ray Zirkle, owner of Time and Again Music. 9602 Durand Avenue in Sturtevant. It's a block west of the Antique School Mall.
We're back in Farmington Hills, Michigan at the Hawk, and this is going to push the Ravens back the penalty. They'll have it first and 10 at their own 26-yard line as they start this drive, leading Racine 14-0. And we're talking about how the Raiders defense might need to get a score in this one in the pregame, Dan, if they want to pull out the W. And really looking that way now, that the Raiders defense needs to maybe get this ball in the end zone here before the half. Although, we'll see what happens at halftime. Both teams going in, see which team makes the better adjustments. But it has been all Detroit Ravens here tonight.
Indeed. First off, block in the back on the return, as we suspected. Death, taxes, and penalties on special teams, you know they all happen regularly. As far as it goes in terms of this Raiders defense, I mean, getting a score would be ideal. A pick six or a fumble return would be great, but first things first, you just want to get a stop against the Ravens, because the Ravens defense has been finding ways to continually stop and keep the Raiders offense from getting momentum. And we've seen that this Raiders defense, again, it's been bend but don't break. And the way that this Ravens offense can move the ball, I'll be honest with you, Don, it's not that the defense has necessarily played a bad game thus far. Only giving up 14 points to this Ravens team through two quarters of play, that's actually a pretty good job, especially considering that the Ravens have gotten decent field position at times. But again, while the offense is just not getting any traction, somebody's got to step up, and that's what team football is all about. And this Raiders defense, hey, if they can make a big play here in the final 2 minutes of this first half, yeah, if they can turn it into a score, ideal. But you know what? If you can just be ball hawking and get the football back, that would be another thing. And I'll be honest with you, Don, even just a 3 and out here, because if the Ravens are going to try and throw this ball and they're going to make passes that end up in incompletions that stop the clock, you could still have time to get the offense back out on the field.
Webster with plenty of time. Pocket breaks down now. He's able to fire across the middle of the field to Holmes. Holmes breaks a couple of tackles, and he'll get all the way out across the far numbers, across the Racine 45, or across the Ravens 45 to their 46-yard line. And it's going to be a pickup of 15, or 20, I should say, in a first down for the Ravens.
Spectacularly athletic play by Ramel Holmes wearing the Jim Otto number 00. Not looking anything like Jim Otto there. Jim Otto never moved like that. 360 move, hits the zero button, or the double zero button on his PlayStation controller, spins past a couple Raiders. Great pickup. The Ravens, once again, back on the move offensively.
Trips to the left, one receiver to the right, first and 10 at their own 46. Again, plenty of time for Webster. Finds A.J. Smith wide open at midfield, and Smith will bring it into Raiders territory before he's shellacked by Gary Young at the 44-yard line, and that is just enough for a first down. And it's interesting to note, because a listener did call in to WRJN asking about the timing. They are now stopping for it to move the chains for a first down. Those sorts of things should be happening all game, where they stop and then restart. Webster firing middle of the field. There is A.J. Smith. A flag comes in the area of a hold, however. But the Ravens moving forward. Webster, though, claps his hands. I think he's going to bring everybody back.
Yep, this one is coming back as our white hat, the head referee, is indicating that it's going to be a hold against the Ravens. But this has been the thing tonight, is that when the Ravens spread out the Raiders' defense, when they set up their route trees such that there are receivers all over the field, there's somebody open. And credit to Torrence Webster for having the vision to consistently keep finding the open receiver. And when I say open, unfortunately for the Raiders, it's been open by 5, 6, 7, 10 yards a lot of the night. That's given them room to get those yards after the catch as well. The Ravens, you know, well-coached team, in addition to being a very good team physically, doing a lot of things right. There's a reason that they've got this 14-0 lead with a minute left in the first half.
So it'll push them back 10 yards. It'll be a first down and 10 for the Ravens. 1:02 left to play here in our first half, and the Raiders defense really needs to make sure they get a stop here on this drive, because you can't go down at the half by three scores to a team as good as the Ravens in a league championship game.
You wonder if the Raiders want to think about going back to applying some pressure to Torrence Webster. Haven't really seen him have to be too worried about the Raiders coming through the line in these last few series. Maybe bring blitz again. Yes, you take the risk of leaving another receiver or two open in the pattern, and Webster does have a quick release, but you got to get him out of the pocket and get him a little bit uncomfortable the way he's been throwing the ball of late.
And that ends up being more a 7-yard penalty, so it'll be a 1st and 17 with where they spot at the Ravens 48-yard line as they wind the clock in with 50 seconds left to play here in the first half. Webster audibling over to the left side where he has trips. One receiver off to the right side. That's Searcy. Taking his time here. Ravens with just one timeout remaining. Webster plenty of time throwing to the far side of the field. Dangerous pass. Corey Dalton couldn't quite catch up to it. Searcy hauls it in as he goes to the turf at the Racine 45-yard line. They pick up seven, and the Ravens use their final timeout with 31 seconds remaining, and will take a timeout here as well for 30. This is the Racine Raiders Broadcast Network.
The weather is getting nicer, and the perfect home is waiting for you. Whether buying or selling, Kelly Friesma with eXp Realty is your trusted local expert. She'll guide you every step of the way finding the right home. First-time buyer? Kelly simplifies everything. Selling? She'll price it right and market it for top dollar. Need financing guidance? Kelly has trusted lender connections. Call 262-939-4687 today to start your journey. Spring markets move fast. Call Kelly Friesma with eXp Realty to find your dream home.
We're back in Farmington Hills, Michigan, the Hawk. It used to be a high school. They've converted it into a wonderful just multi-use facility here. Tennis courts, pickleball courts. They have What was the high school has a swimming pool and a bunch of internal stuff as well for athletics. So they've done a really great job, really nice facilities here. As we commented back in late May, on May 31st, that this is a really nice facility that the Detroit Ravens have found.
Yeah, formerly Harrison High School, which was founded in 1970, but closed after the 2019 graduation ceremonies. But they've done a good job of keeping it relevant to the community with what they've built here.
Second down and 10, Webster going for a home run ball down the near sideline or far sideline, and that is broken up as he was looking for Hannah working against Dalton. Hannah had a step initially, and then Dalton was able to catch up, and it'll bring up a third down with 25 seconds left to play here in the first half. 14-0, the Ravens lead.
Burn me once, shame on me. Burn me twice. Well, hey, the Raiders got burned a couple different times earlier in the game on deep balls like that. But a third time here, Hannah not able to reel it in. Maybe a little bit underthrown by Webster, but great coverage for the Raiders. They finally picked up on the fact that, yes, the Ravens will try and go downfield every once in a while. You got to send somebody on that fly pattern. Corey Dalton kept up. Great defense. That puts the Ravens in a tough spot on third and long.
Holmes split out, the lone receiver to the far side of the field, three to the near side for Webster. Webster, pocket breaking down, stays in there. Now he's going to move to his left. Webster's going to fire, middle of the field, catch is made, flag comes out, Searcy with the catch. And the flag in the area of a hold, and I think it's going to push the Ravens back.
Yep. Initial indication from the near side official was holding again against the Ravens. Raiders only rushing three there, and as a result, Webster had to take a lot of time to try and look downfield. However, he settled in and was able to find someone downfield, but it took so long that the more time you have to spend around pushing defensive linemen, the more time you have to hold them, and indeed, the call is holding against the Ravens, and that negates yet another Ravens first down. We talked about some of the mistakes the Raiders have been making. Now the Ravens committing a couple key holding penalties here on this two-minute drill. Only 17 seconds remaining in this first half. The Ravens have had a couple good passes that have resulted in first downs, but instead, they've ended up moving backwards, and now they don't have a lot of time left. In fact, the clock continues to run after the penalty is placed, and you know what? The Ravens, they're just going to let this half run out.
Yeah, they take a knee and with the snap, and they let the time run out on the first half of play, but it's been all Detroit Ravens thus far in this contest. They lead Racine 14-0. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we will have an interview with Bubba Revelinski, the tight end of the year in the Players Football Association and our reigning Racine Raiders Player of the Week. That coming up in 60 seconds. This is the Racine Raiders Broadcast Network.
Racine, your stories are our stories.
Stories of dedication and resilience. Of beauty and commitment.
Of good times and of bad.
For 125 years, Rasmussen Diamonds has been part of this beautiful community of stories. We can't wait to hear yours.
Visit Rasmussen Diamonds in Racine or explore our collection online at rasmussendiamonds.com.
Do you ever feel like something's missing, like you're meant to give back but don't know where to start? At Our Harmony Club, you can make a real difference in the lives of older adults just by sharing your time. Whether you love to cook, craft, lead games, or simply brighten someone's day, Our Harmony Club needs you. Volunteer once a week or more and discover the joy of giving and receiving. Visit ourharmonyclub.org to learn more. That's ourharmonyclub.org to volunteer.
Players Football Association championship game between the Racine Raiders and the Detroit Ravens in Farmington Hills, Michigan. From the Hawk, and joining us, we record these a little bit earlier in the week, and this one was on a Friday afternoon, so making the trek to Detroit while he's on the interview with us is the reigning player of the week for the Racine Raiders, Mr. Hattrick, Bubba Revelinski. Bubba, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Three touchdowns in the game. Had you ever done anything like that in your football career before?
No, not that I could think of. I think it's the first time in my career having three touchdowns.
How did it feel to be on the receiving end of three TDs and be part of a big part of the difference in being able to get the Raiders to this PFA championship game?
It felt great. Getting the balls or the receptions that I got, I think I'd be grateful for it. And having Sawyer back there kind of throwing the dots and, seeing me on the field, it was a great feeling.
In a game like that, you had just come off of being named the tight end of the year. To have that type of performance in that type of game, what did that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, I don't really focus on that. So the tight end of the year, it's great to be named that, but that's, I'm kind of not, I wasn't really striving. They're not striving, but not like, I didn't really care that I was named tight end of the year. I'm just playing a part on a team, and I was luckily named tight end of the year. So
it's got to be great, though, to know that all the effort that you've put in, all the effort that the guys around you have put in. I mean, a lot of these individual awards end up being team awards, right? If you didn't have somebody that was able to fling the ball to you, you wouldn't even have that opportunity. So it has to be a pretty awesome honor just to be able to have an award like that, considering the quality of the league that the Raiders are in.
Oh, 100%. I mean, me personally, I take it more as a team, team trophy, if you can call it that, not a personal one. So, yeah, I think we definitely, as a team, played our butts off that game and minimized the mistakes that we had the game before and kind of capitalized on our opportunities that we had.
This year, you have you've made the highlight reels that we put out on a week-to-week basis fairly regularly, whether it's a massive stiff arm that went pretty viral and had hundreds of thousands of views as you stepped into the end zone. We've seen you with one-handed grabs. We've seen you Superman across the goal line. We've seen you tiptoe along the sidelines for a catch. You're just having a great season this year, and did you do anything in the off season that really kind of helped you to improve your game at all?
As far as off season, I would say definitely hitting the gym, kind of balance work more. I kind of focused on that this off season, kind of doing just like one-legged stuff, kind of controlling my balance more. I guess that would definitely be something I worked on in the off season. But other than that, no, I kind of just worked out and went to work and I had fun.
So it seems that the balance activities paid off for you this year with what we've seen from you.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Did you work with anybody on that? Did you get any guidance on that? How did you go about kind of working on improving your balance?
I kind of just looked up on YouTube, like balance training, and kind of took it there myself. No, I didn't really, have anybody train me on it. I did kind of train with the guys, Sawyer, Jordan, pretty much hit up all the guys and asked them, what they're doing and when they're working out. And we kind of hit the workout sessions together. So
5 trips to Detroit, Michigan this year. You guys have traveled that path of quite a bit and very well. How did it feel last week to be able to avenge that regular season finale loss to the Motor City Rams?
Good. Now we got our guys back on defense. We got our guys back on offense. That week off really, really helped us. Kind of like I think Jeff said on Facebook, really helped us heal our bones and heals our bruises. So I guess that's that was definitely a big help to whoever says that we don't travel is a load of crap.
with the offense this year, you guys have taken a lot of heat for you know, maybe not carrying your weight the whole season. Do you feel that it started to turn? Do you feel that injuries and have been a result of, or have resulted in kind of some of that inconsistency maybe from the offense this year?
Yeah, oh yeah. I think I don't really know what week it was, but I know when we played the Illinois Cowboys, we lost like four or five guys that were kind of down for the count for the season until, you know, Motor City Rams this past weekend. I also do think that we kind of switched up our offense and we kind of trusted it more throughout the end of the season. So I think that was a big help too. We kind of just stopped, you know, caring what plays we are running and kind of just focusing on our jobs during those plays. And I think that helped a lot as well.
You guys had the big win streak that got snapped by these Detroit Ravens. Was there added pressure that was kind of being put on you, or that you think maybe you guys were putting on yourselves that maybe led to you being a little bit more rigid for games or anything like that as a whole?
I'd say I'd be lying if I said there wasn't any. Obviously, holding that streak is, you know, it's an accomplishment as itself, but, you know, it's football. You know, there's going to be ups and downs during the game. There's going to be wins and losses. You're just going to have to take that and kind of roll with it. And, you know, after a loss, push it past you and think about the next game. It's, you know, it's a game of inches. And sometimes, yeah, you don't get those inches. But
how has this year in the Players Football Association compared to the past couple of years in the Gridiron Developmental Football League? Is there, do you feel that this has been overall a tougher competition, or because you guys kind of played a lot of PFA teams the past couple of years, do you think it's just kind of been the kind of standard of the past 3 years?
I think it's better competition personally. We got Detroit Ravens and Motor City Rams. Yeah, we played them a couple years ago when we won. But I think as, you know, the years went on, the teams developed a little bit more. And they obviously got a little bit better than last time. And I think we kind of thought we're going to go into the game winning it maybe a little bit too, or a little bit more than we should have. But I do think that this league is a little bit tougher in competition for sure.
Well, Bubba, I like to give the opportunity at the end of every interview to open it up for our guests to be able to give some shout outs. I see Jay Graff is out behind you there on the road trip, and you got Nick Nelson driving so that you could do this interview. So thank you to Nick, but who else might you like to shout out?
You know, my parents for kind of watching those games, coming to the games, friends, families, fans. I appreciate all you guys for coming out and, you know, supporting the Racine Raiders. Also want to give another shout out to kind of Jay Graff for being super quiet in the back. That was super helpful. He was kind of rowdy beforehand. Kind of told him to settle down, but, you know, I think he had something to eat, so he needed to take a quick nap, but. Yeah, I appreciate all the fans out there. You know, that's why everybody wants a little piece of the Racine Raiders, is because of the atmosphere. And, you know, we go to other games and they only have 10, 15 people. So everybody wants the little taste of Racine Raiders at home, but we appreciate you guys.
All right, that was the reigning Racine Raiders Player of the Week and the Players Football Association Tight End of the Year, coming off a hat trick performance against the Motor City Rams, Bubba Revelinski. We're going to be back in 60 seconds, and when we come back, we'll recap the first half with stats. This is the Racine Raiders Broadcast Network.
Come out and visit Time and Again Music. We have a huge selection of vinyl, over 10,000 titles in stock. We've got everything. We got rock, soul, jazz, country, R&B, soundtracks. So a little of this, a little of that. Make a list every time you hear something on the radio. Have a little tiny pad of paper somewhere and jot down a group, a song title. That way when you come in, you've got an idea of what you're looking for. I'm Ray Zirkle, owner of Time and Again Music. 9602 Durand Avenue in Sturtevant. It's a block west of the Antique School Mall.
Racine, welcome to the tropics, right on Durand Ave. At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, they're blending smoothies your way. Add-ins like protein, collagen, and even the perfect sweetness level. It doesn't stop at smoothies. Fuel up with toasted wraps, sandwiches, or go hazelnuts for the tropic bowls. Try the acai with Nutella, or power up with their peanut butter protein crunch bowl. 32 grams of protein and major vacation vibes in every bite. Now open at 6035 Durand Ave. Made to order, made for you. Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Vacay starts here.
Dan Pfeiffer back with you as the Racine Raiders take on the Detroit Ravens in the PFA Championship game for this 2025 season. Quick look at some of our halftime statistics, and they do tell a lot of the story in this 14-0 game in favor of the Ravens right now. First downs in favor of the Ravens, 11-3. Total offense, the Ravens have run 33 plays to the Raiders, 22, and have gained 165 yards in the contest compared to 53 for the Racine Raiders. Perhaps one of the most telling stats in this contest thus far, the Racine Raiders have run the ball in this game 5 times. Net yardage, -1 yards. Now, yes, that does include a fumbled snap recovery, but the Raiders just have not been able to get it going on the ground, and as the Ravens have built this 14-0 lead, the Raiders have had to go to the air more often, where Sawyer Chick has tried to do everything that he can, but is only 8 of 17 through the air, whereas on the other side for the Ravens, you have Torrence Webster, who is 14 of 21 in the contest for 165 yards. We should say actually 198 yards of total offense, 165 yards of passing offense for the Detroit Ravens. Again, 14 of 21 is Webster in the contest for the Ravens, and he has also thrown 2 touchdown passes. Penalties, there have been more than a few in this contest, and they've hurt both teams. The Ravens, 5 penalties for 49 yards in the game thus far, 4 penalties for 16 yards against the Racine Raiders. Don Wadowitz does pop back into the screen, takes a swig of water, and puts his headset back on. As we get set for the second half, Don, I'm thinking that the Raiders have to kind of just reset in terms of offense.
Yeah, they need to reset in terms of offense and come out with some intensity here to begin the second half, because that first half, just offensively, they had the one decent drive, but they ended up having the field goal attempt, the very long field goal attempt, blocked, and just weren't able to really muster, as your stats show, much else outside of that kind of one drive, Dan. So see what the offense can do with coming out of halftime, having some time to kind of assess and talk about it, and hopefully this first drive is going to be a big difference, or is going to tell a big story. But again, we talked about in the pregame, when the Raiders scored in the first quarter, unbeaten. When they scored in the fourth quarter, unbeaten this year. They did not get those points in the first quarter. Second quarter is actually their biggest scoring quarter of the year on the season. They have around 130-some points, like double anything that they have in any other quarter. And so they really need to put on a performance here in the second half to be able to get back in this game. I think they need to go over the top to Garcia. I think they need to stretch the field. That'll open up the run game. If they can hit something over the top to Garcia, that is really going to loosen up this Ravens defense, I think.
Well, and I think the rushing number is interesting, too. Again, 5 carries for -1 yards. And a lot of different coaches, players, even you and I probably have different philosophies on this, Don. I'm of the belief you cannot give up on the run game. You have to make teams respect your ability to run the football. Even when it hasn't been successful, you have to keep going to it just to keep teams honest. And I would think here, especially getting the ball at the start of the second half, if you're the Raiders, you want to try and get triplet established here any way that you can, because that keeps you from getting one-dimensional and predictable as an offense, as you need to make up some ground.
Yeah, so, you know, I think they've been trying to use some of those screens to be able to count as kind of run plays, right? And they haven't necessarily had a ton of success on those either. So we'll see what offensive coordinator Jeff Schick, head coach Wilbert Kennedy, came up with at halftime, and see if they can get something going here in the second half. Also, Dan wanted, I don't know if you'd thank the Detroit Ravens.
But, not yet, but we should.
That pizza that was down on the in the bleachers, it actually did come up here and was for the folks in the press box. So we want to thank the Detroit Ravens for their hospitality. They have been great both the last time we were here as well as this time, giving us the space that we need, checking in with us, making sure that we had everything that we needed. So really appreciate their hospitality. You don't see that all too often on the road. It maybe happens once a season. St. Paul Pioneers, they are famous for that. When we went down to Indy and played the Indy Bison, they were really good with that as well. So shout outs to a couple of teams that are trying to do it right. So
class organization, yes. And that pizza went from in the stands to in the press box to in our stomachs, as a good number of our staffers had some of that, and we thank the Ravens for providing that.
Opening kickoff is hauled in by Racine at the 18-yard line and brought down pretty quickly for the Raiders is Malik Perry. They will have it at the 28-yard line. First and 10 to start off this second half of play for Racine. See if the offense can get things going here in this second half, get some points up on the board, and make this PFA championship game a ball game in front of a pretty good crowd for a road game for the Raiders here in Farmington Hills, Michigan. Raiders with a pretty good contingency on the other side, although I think about a fifth of those folks are the Zimmerman clan. So just want to give them a shout out. They came in and it was definitely like a pack of wolves coming into the stadium. So
second generation Racine Raider Jacob Zimmerman is there is quite the history with the organization. Right away for the Ravens, you see Jaishan Barnes, 6 foot, 195 pound player on special. Special teams make the ankle tackle and give a big pump of the fist. The Ravens trying to keep that momentum up as they come out of the locker room at the half.
Twin receivers each way for Schick. He's going to put Foster in motion across the back of the line. Slot left over to the right side. Schick with the handoff to Triplett. Triplett bounces off of one tackle and will work his way across the 30 to the 32-yard line as he's able to pick up four, and it'll bring up a second down and 6 for Racine.
It's moments like that, Don, that I wonder if someone over on the sideline there has an earbud in listening to our broadcast. I mentioned getting the running game going, and right away, first play of the second half, the Raiders run the football and get decent yardage too with Howard Triplett. That at least plants a seed in the Ravens' mind that the Raiders are still willing to run the ball and might open up some options for them.
If that's the case, we're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it's true.
Same formation, same motion. Schick looking for a deep ball, this time for Payne. Payne over the shoulder catch at the Ravens 42-yard line. And he goes out of bounds. Where are they going to mark him out? Down at the 37-yard line as they pick up 35 on that pitch and catch.
Sometimes we have to say, just because it was a good play doesn't necessarily mean it was the best decision. Sawyer Schick throws that ball into double coverage over the top and an outstanding athletic play and great concentration by Jordan Payne to reel that in. Best play of the night for the Raiders, and now they're moving.
Ravens showing blitz. Three receivers to the left. Foster all alone to the right. Now Racine's going to audible. Schick to the line. Triplett will move off his left hip from behind him as they're moving right to left to begin this third quarter of play. Hard count, doesn't get anybody to go. Triplett finds a little bit of a lane and an ankle tackle, saving a big gain by Cortez Tipton. But even though Triplett able to still bounce ahead, picks up 7, and it'll be a second down and 3 for Racine.
Oh, Triplett saw all that green AstroTurf in front of him. He wanted to keep running north until he needed his passport and could get into Canada. Unfortunately, he gets tripped up from behind, but he knew he had the hole and had some space there. Hey, go back to it. Why not? Raiders starting to push people around up front.
Twin receivers each way, this time for Schick. Triplett off his right hip this time. Second down and 4 at the 31-yard line of the Detroit Ravens. Schick looking to pass, steps up in the pocket, fires across the middle of the field. Too high for Bubba Revolinski, cutting across at the 15-yard line. Incomplete, and it'll bring up a 3rd and 3 for Racine.
Maybe the adrenaline got a little bit too much to Sawyer Schick there. Went to the old rocket arm throw, and it was too high for Revolinski. Dangerous throw, too, as if he had put any more juice on that. Jose Morris was creeping back there at the safety position, and that would have been within range for him. Nonetheless, calm things down if you're the Raiders. You've got a manageable third down situation here. Get this third down. The Raiders only converted once on third down in the first half. Keep this drive rolling.
You have Garcia that checks in for Woodland. He'll go out wide to the right along the Raiders sideline. Two receivers each way for Schick. Arms extended. Schick hands it off to Triplett. Triplett tries to go off left tackle, breaks one tackle, dives forward, and looks like he might have just enough for the first down to the Detroit Ravens 28-yard line, or is he just inches short? They're going to say inches short here, Dan.
Got spun around once and twice, fell backwards towards the line to gain. Looks like he didn't quite get there. Raiders will leave the offense on the field. That was a zone blocking look from the Raiders where they let the Ravens come upfield a little bit. Triplett able to take advantage, but he needed just a little more.
Fourth and inches for Racine. Out of the pistol, Schick, twin receivers each way. Schick looking to pass, throws for Revolinski. That ball is tipped in the air and incomplete, and the Raiders go to the air. Revolinski covered well. It's going to be a turnover on downs as the Ravens defense holds, and an interesting play call for that one by Racine, Dan.
You know, I'm not going to doubt the play call there because you've been running the football. It's a fourth and short. Teams are expecting the run. I mean, don't get me wrong, it didn't pay off for Pete Carroll in a Super Bowl once, but at the same time, you got to try and keep teams on their heels. If anything there, that's another pass where Sawyer Schick put a little bit too much behind it. But you know what? There's still time left. You mounted a nice drive to start the second half. You send your defense back out there. And as we've talked about, even though the Ravens have moved the ball steadily, they've gotten a couple scores when they've gotten the big play. If you're the Raiders, keep them from getting the big play. Get the ball back. Recognize what you did on the offensive end. You're starting to get some things working. Don't let this get to you. Manage the situation. Hold them down. You're still in it.
Two receivers to the right, one to the left. H-back on the left side of the formation. A back behind Webster. Handoff goes to Bradley Mitchell. Mitchell, not much running room into the heart of that Raiders defense. He'll pick up three across the 30, maybe even four to the 32-yard line. Gary Young getting off from the bottom of the pile. I believe also in there for Racine might have been Armani Goodwin. It'll be a second and six.
Amos Entian, one of the Ravens backfield members, limping off the field for Detroit out there as a lead blocker in that situation. Good pickup on the first offensive play of the second half for the Detroit Ravens. And now let's see how much they decide to pound the football with this 14-point lead. It's not what I would call a secure lead just yet, but it's a comfortable lead for the Ravens. They can maybe settle in and try and go on longer drives rather than taking shots here with this advantage and with the football in their own territory.
Three receivers right, one to the left. Webster pump fakes on the screen to the right, going deep to the left, and it is caught by A.J. Smith in single coverage against Corey Dalton into Raiders territory, far sideline down to the 33-yard line. 39 yards and a first down for Detroit.
Hey, nothing you can do about that if you are the Raiders. Had good coverage downfield, but what a catch by Smith with a hand in his body. He reels it in. Raiders tried to roll safety coverage over, couldn't get it there in time. A spectacular athletic play, and you know what? This is what championship teams do, Don. They find ways to get plays when they need them, get the momentum back after bending a little bit on the first offensive drive for the Raiders. The Ravens, hate to say it, Don, they're looking more and more like a championship team as this game continues to roll on.
So we have an officials timeout, and there, again, another big play, Dan. We were talking about the big plays through the air, and right after talking about it, they're able to connect on one, and now they're set up at the Racine 33-yard line, and that was their best receiver against the Raiders' best defensive back, and he's able to come down as the winner in that situation on that play.
But again, all credit to Smith, 6'4", 195 pounds, and he was draped over, really. That was just an adjustment on his part to go up, get that ball with a body right on top of his body. Hey, that takes concentration. That's a pro-style play by a wide receiver right there. The ball was well placed, don't get me wrong, but that's all on the receiver, Smith. What a play for him, and when that happens, if you're the Raiders, you defended that as well as you could. You had the player in the right place at the right time. Sometimes, hate to say it, there's just nothing you can do.
And now we're ready. The clock winds. Ravens had a little time. Webster having some personal conversations during that timeout. Hannah in motion across the back of the line. Fakes a handoff to him. Flag comes out. Throwing downfield. Receiver wide open. And is going to be taken down inside the five at the four. That is Howard, but it's coming back for a hold.
Yep. Hold thrown right up the middle as there was pressure coming from the middle of the Raiders defense and Antonio Dundy, but the indication is holding against the Detroit Ravens. Dundy, with the great push that he got, all of a sudden he got turned to one side, and that's almost always an indication that there's a hold. When the offensive lineman sees the defender get behind him, he does anything he can to try and save his quarterback, grab some jersey, grab some of whatever you can find, and in the end you get a flag thrown against you as well.
First and 20 now for the Ravens, back at the Racine 43-yard line. After a big connection from Webster to A.J. Smith, who's had a couple of big catches, including a TD catch in this game. Had a TD catch the first meeting as well. Has 10 of them on the season. Big play threat all the time. 85-yard long on the year. That is their long TD pass of the season. Just about 10 minutes left to play in the third quarter. The pitch to the right side to Maddox. Maddox is unable to get the edge. Gary Young comes in and check that. That was not Maddox. That was actually Gilvani Johnson with the carry. It's going to be a loss of another yard and bring up a third down or a second down and 21.
We talked about how earlier in the game the Ravens running back core did a good job of keeping plays alive by bouncing him to the outside. Might have been what Johnson wanted to do there. Instead, he decided to try and turn it upfield after he got past the gap around right tackle. But the Raiders had that play well covered. They were well positioned from the snap for that play. Might have been something that Webster wanted to check out of. Not a good result for the Ravens. Good result for the Raiders. And an interesting decision to try and run the ball on first down and long for the Ravens there. It pays off for the Raiders as they get that stop.
Webster looking to pass. They actually say no gain, has plenty of time throwing, and he throws it a little bit low and behind his intended receiver, Vincent Howard, and it'll bring up a third down and 20. That ball between the numbers and hash marks on the near side of the field down inside the 25.
Raiders may be a little lucky that Webster delivered that ball behind the receiver, because even though both Elvin Turner and Thomas Burton were in the area, the receiver had a step on both of them. A better placed ball, and that gets the Ravens back in position where they're thinking about an easier run or throw for a first down instead. It's third and 20 for the Ravens as the result of that incompletion. And now again, question on the part of the Raiders. Do you drop back into coverage or do you try and bring some pressure on Webster?
Two receivers each way. Johnson to the right of Webster. Webster with time, scanning, sitting back there, throwing, looking for Hannah, and throws short of Hannah on an out pattern inside the Raiders' 20-yard line on the far side of the field. Will bring up a fourth down, and looks like they're going to bring out the punting team with 9:08 to play here in the third quarter. Ravens leading this PFA championship game 14-0 over the Racine Raiders.
Another ball that Webster didn't put on the money. Hannah, again, had a couple steps away from the defender, but Webster couldn't get the ball all the way there, and the Raiders, they'll get the football back as a result of that. Let's see what this punt looks like for the Ravens. They might have the chance to pin the Raiders back deep in their own territory with a good punt, but a good return for the Raiders could give them some of that momentum back after that nice stop as a result mostly of the holding penalty.
A.J. Smith standing back inside his 45-yard line. Snap is slow to get to him. He's able to move out to his right side, pooches it, and it's going to dribble out of bounds. It'll be a nice kick because it lands inside the 15 at the 13-yard line. It'll go down as only about a 20-yard punt, Dan, but it does back Racine up to their own 13 to start this drive, trailing 14-0.
Yeah, it's a good punt because it pins the Raiders deep in their own territory. And as much as the Raiders have struggled to move the football in this contest, even though they got some offense going on their first drive of the second half, by putting the Raiders in the shadow of their own goalpost, maybe makes them think a little bit more about what they're doing. Maybe a little bit hesitant, too, to throw those passes to the edges, which have had some success for them on the evening, but also sets you up for an easy pick six if the Ravens are able to disrupt. Take some of the pages out of the playbook for Sawyer Schick. Let's see what the Raiders choose choose to do as they try again and just get some of that offensive momentum that has just been elusive for them in this contest.
Heron to the right of Schick, Foster in single coverage. Two safeties deep now for the Ravens. We haven't really seen this much from them. Three receivers over to the right side. Schick rolling to the right side. Schick has time, throwing deep. Revelinski got free, turns around, makes a catch at the 48 of the Ravens. Revelinski on his feet, down to the 40, and inside the 40 to the 37-yard line. That is a 50-yard pass connection, and it is the longest pass play of the season for Racine, and they have a first and 10 in Ravens territory.
Well, you want to get out of the shadow of your own goalpost. That's one way to do it. So you're Schick rolling out to his right, looking like Brett Favre, firing it deep down the field, and the Ravens just lost Bubba Revelinski. Wide open on the far side of the field, a great play for the Raiders, and they've got to keep this up now.
How do you lose the tight end of the year coming off a hat trick of touchdowns? Handoff goes to Heron. Heron bounces it outside. Heron outside the far numbers, inside the 30-yard line, inside the 25, down to the 24-yard line as Heron picks up 13 and another first down for Racine as they near the Anton painting and decorating red zone for the first time in the game. See if they can get in there.
What peripheral vision for Heron, and why not in Detroit? A little Barry Sanders type run. Some agility, bouncing outside, not once but twice, finding green grass to the right side and turning it into something big.
Three receivers to the left, Foster to the right, one safety back deep, gains in motion across the line. Heron takes the handoff, cuts it in between the tackle and guard on the left side, and he'll pound his way inside the Anton painting and decorating red zone to the 18-yard line of the Ravens. He gets six, and it'll bring up a second down and four for Racine.
You know, in the first half, we really did not see much from Noah Heron. In fact, he didn't run the football in the first half. It was Howard Triplett that got the opportunities. Now, we see Heron out there. He's doing the job. He gives them an extra dimension because he's got that little extra burst, and that has made a difference on this drive on the last couple plays.
Javier Ferrasquilla has moved to center for Racine, and they're having some good luck with this drive. A little screen out to Payne. Payne with a little sidestep, and Payne down inside the 10 to the 8-yard line of the Ravens as he's able to pick up 11, and Racine moves the chains again. That is the third time on this drive, and that doubles the number of first downs they've had in the game.
Don, I'm going to pat my own chest a little bit. You start running the football, it opens up things in the passing game. Heron does some things on the ground. Now, receivers are more open for Schick. He takes advantage. Raiders have it in an and goal situation, trying to get on the board for the first time in the contest.
Twin receivers each way, but there's going to be a flag. Somebody on the Raiders offensive line flinched, and it's going to cost them 5 yards and push them back to the 13, maybe 14 yard line. They'll say 14 of Detroit. And Dan, you know, we talk about the penalties this year. They've come at the least opportune times. Not that there's any good times for them.
It's not the worst thing in the world to happen in an and goal situation, because it does give your receivers a little more room to run their routes, but as well as you've been running the football, you'd like to have the ball closer to the end zone. Nonetheless, you deal with what happens. All right, now it's first and goal from the 14. Let's pull out the playbook and see what we can come up with that'll get a six.
Two safeties back deep for the Ravens again. Three receivers to the left, Foster to the right. They're throwing it up for Foster, trying the mismatch, and he can't hold on to it as he loses the helmet in the far end zone, and it'll bring up a second down and goal for Racine. He had it for a moment, Dan, couldn't hold on to it, and had his helmet pop off.
Yeah, Ravens read that play really well. They rolled a linebacker over to cover in addition to the defensive back, and the Marie Antoinette coverage, if you will, off with his head. Tough for any receiver at any level to catch a ball when you've got that much contact and two defenders in the area. Credit to him for at least getting as close as he did. He's going to have to come off the field because his helmet did pop off. Raiders, though, they like that play. They might want to go to it again.
Also on the offensive line, Jacob Zimmerman moves out to take Ferrasquilla's spot on the right tackle position. Schick, immediate pressure coming, throwing middle of the field and through the hands of Jordan Payne, and Racine very lucky that one did not get picked off as that ball hung in the air in the middle of the field for seemingly ever, Dan. It'll bring up a third and goal from the 14 for Racine, trailing by 14, 5:48 to play in the third quarter.
I absolutely hate that I'm going to use this play on words, but Payne looked pained after that one. He did a jumping jack after that ball went off his hands. He had room in front of him to go to the sideline and turn the corner. Probably was thinking about doing that before he caught the football, and he knew it.
You're buying dinner for that one. Three receivers to the right, one off to the left. It's Woodland in single coverage on the left side. One safety back deep. Schick looking, firing, throwing to the sideline, looking for Payne, and Payne couldn't come up with it. Threw it a little bit wide of Jordan Payne. It'll bring up fourth down and decision time for Racine. Fourth and goal from the 14. Do they keep the offense out there? Nope, they are going to bring out Brady Wodak and try for another field goal. The first field goal, a 49-yarder, was blocked going the other way. Wodak is going to go out there and try for a 31-yarder, much more within his comfortable range, as they may set it back at the 22, so a 32-yard attempt here for Wodak.
Definitely within range for Wodak, and if you are the Raiders, it's about just breaking the seal. Get some points on the scoreboard, get started with that, see where it goes from there. First things first, though, you got to make this kick if you're Wodak.
Wodak, 32-yard field goal attempt. The kick is away, and he drills it through, and Racine is on the board with 5:44 to play in the third quarter. They cut the deficit to 11. They trailed Detroit 14-3 in the PFA championship game. We'll be back in 30 seconds. This is the Racine Raiders Broadcast Network.
Racine, welcome to the tropics, right on Durand app. At Tropical Smoothie Cafe, they're blending smoothies your way. Add-ins like protein, collagen, and even the perfect sweetness level. It doesn't stop at smoothies. Fuel up with toasted wraps, sandwiches, or go hazelnuts for the tropic bowls. Try the acai with Nutella, or power up with their peanut butter protein crunch bowl. 32 grams of protein and major vacation vibes in every bite. Now open at 6035 Durand Ave. Made to order, made for you. Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Vacay starts here.
WRJN. On the left. Our active body fitness trivia question. What is the Racine Raiders' all-time record entering tonight against teams based in the Detroit metro area? Exercise is a must for anyone looking to enhance strength and endurance on the field, in the backyard, and around the house. Call the certified professionals at Active Body Fitness. Hannah goes back, hauls it in at the 4-yard line, brings it across the 20, still on his feet, and is finally taken down at the 26-yard line, their own, and that is where the Ravens will start with it. First and 10, but back to that Active Body Fitness. Let those certified personal trainers at Active Body Fitness assist and guide you in perfecting your technique, improving your movement, and reducing the chance of injury to keep you on track. Excited to have them on board for the Racine Raiders season this year. Also sponsoring our high school broadcast season that starts in a few weeks. If you own a business and would like to get on board with our high school season, get a lot of viewers for our games at Historic Horlick Athletic Field, make sure you reach out to marketing at RacineRaiders.org, or you can reach out on any of our social media platforms. And congratulations to those watching the at the official viewing party at Angry Brothers Pub and Grill. Believe somebody might have gotten a Woodman's $10 gift certificate.
Hey, there you go.
Handoff up the middle, a little bit of a burst of speed. Maddox is able to bring it up across the 30 to the 33-yard line, and check that, that's Mitchell. He'll pick up 6. It'll be a second down and 4.
Bradley Mitchell showing why Mount Union wanted to have him in their backfield. Small, but he's got good speed. Again, a tough guy to bring down, low center of gravity. And if you're the Ravens, yeah, Raiders got you on your heels a little bit on that last drive, but you bring the offense back out on the field. You go back to the ground. You go back to a guy who really has been your best option in Mitchell, and he gets you a nice pickup on first down that gets you some of that momentum back that you lost.
Receiver in motion, slot left over to the right side. That's Hall. Three receivers over on the right side. Handoff again to Mitchell. Mitchell tries to swing it outside on the left side, but Gary Young comes in like a lion and was able to wreck him up and bring him down at the 30-yard line. He was hunting his prey, and he got to him. A TFL for Young. It'll be a second down and 7.
I'm going to go with a different animal from the jungle, a gazelle. Great speed out of Gary Young Jr. here in the Motor City. Looking like a Ford Mustang. Catching up with the speedy Bradley Mitchell and finding a way to get that tackle for a loss. Now, 3rd and 6 for the Ravens. Need that pass defense to step up. If you can get the ball back again here as the Raiders and make this a one-score game, boy, all the momentum will be in your corner.
Gazelle is prey. Lion is predator. Come on, Dan. No.
Well, but that gazelle's pretty fast. I'll tell you what. There are some gazelles that have outrun some lions.
3 receivers to the right, 1 to the left for Webster. Back to his left. Webster pump fakes. Webster steps up, finds Mitchell out of the backfield, down the far sideline. Pass is complete, and Mitchell still on his feet at the 43-yard line before he's finally taken down. Going to be enough for a first down as they pick up about 15 on the play and reset the chains.
Yeah, great play by Mitchell. You can hold him down on second down, but when they find him in space on third down, he's got that extra gear, and he used it along the sideline there. A first down for the Ravens to get them out of trouble in a situation where it was 3rd and 7. Raiders were starting to feel like maybe they could get that football back like we were talking about. Instead, the Ravens hold on to it. It's a big conversion at a big point in this game. Hate to say it, Don, but you know what? Time's starting to run down here in this third quarter. There's a little over 3 minutes left, and if you're the Raiders, yeah, you got on the board on that last drive, but you can't let the Ravens continue to hold on to the ball throughout this contest, because eventually you're going to run out of time to score the points you need.
Webster hands it off to Maddox. Maddox slips one tackle in the backfield, hits the circle button a couple times, and will turn a negative into a positive as he gets across the 45 to the 46-yard line. A gain of 2. It'll be a 2nd down and 8.
Nice work from the backside by Thomas Burton to get out there. And it looks like, unfortunately for the Ravens, Bradley Mitchell is still down on the field. We'll have to check on how he is, because if he would have to come off, that would be a big loss for the Ravens in this situation. Not how you want things to happen if you're the Raiders, but it still does impact things if he has to come off due to injury. But, you're seeing the shifty mobility of not just Mitchell, but this entire Ravens team. You saw it from Smith with a couple of his catches where he was able to elude the Raiders. It's a team that, again, they've got good football IQ. They're able to make good plays. They're able to use the whole field. But they've also got this athleticism that makes them tough to stop. It's rare to see a team this athletic at the semi-pro level, but the Ravens bring it, not just tonight, but they brought it all season long.
14-3, the Ravens lead in this PFA championship game as they attend to the injured player, and they do get Maddox up and off under his own power. And 2nd and 8, the Detroit Ravens.